Don't get mad because there might be some things come out. You're going to be like, man, I don't really know about this. Just hang tight here for a little bit. All right, I want to give you some statistics before we really get into this. This came in 2019. This was by our U.S. Census. It says that there were more than over 2 million marriages that happened in 2019. But look at the divorces. There was over 800,000 divorces, which means that there was approximately 37% of marriages that ended in divorce within the United States in 2019. Now, the church will usually applaud and say, oh, that number came down. I want to tell you why that number came down. It's because people aren't getting married. People are not holding fast to what mom and dad taught what was right or what the church values were. So we have seen that drop majorly, almost by 20%. I still think that's a high number. But man, we can do better, can't we? I want you to know here at Mission Point, we raise Christians. We raise Christians. I don't think that I want to raise, I don't tell my kids they're sinners. I don't act like they're sinners. I act like you're Christian and you're on the way to heaven. Someday you're getting saved, amen? That's how I raise my home. Now, I can't tell you how to raise yours. But for mine, that's how I do with mine. And I thought this statistic was even more scary. More than 800,000 parents are in federal and state prisons, and 92% of them are fathers. Dad, where are you this morning? Dad, we need you this morning. More than ever, we need dads. We need you. This isn't a race thing. This isn't a division thing. This is a father, a mother thing. Because I can't stand when people say, oh, this is a race thing. No, this isn't. This is a father thing. This is a family thing. And this is all about family this morning. No greater job than was given to me than it was to be a dad. I never thought it would be easy. I thought it would be easy being a father. And then I became a dad. Can I tell you, being a dad was terrible at first. Amen? Do you remember the reckless nights you'd have? I remember when we brought Hayden home from the hospital. I was like, oh man, this kid's so great. He's beautiful. And then he cried for 6 months. Amen? I'm like, I don't know if I can handle this. But I can tell you more than anything is when he came down to an altar one day and he asked Jesus in his heart. That's when I knew I was doing okay as a parent. I want to read this verse to you. This comes from Proverbs 1:8. It says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning, and I need you to really think about this as we try to click through this thing here. You know, I think it died on me. There we go. No, it didn't. All right. How is Proverbs 1:8 possible if everyone else is raising your child? If we should be listening to mother's instructions and to father, how is this possible when everybody else is raising our children? You say, what else is raising my children? Well, the coach is raising your child. You have them in 5 different sports at one time. You have them in other events across town. When did you sit down at dinner with your child? When did you turn off TV? Our media is raising our children. When did you sit down and turn off the TV and say, hey, we're having dinner tonight? Tell me what you learned in Awana. Tell me what you learned in Sunday school. When are we turning off devices? I never really thought we'd have to get to a point in our Christian walk when we'd have to say, everybody, turn off your device. But we're at that point. We're in a different parenting time than when I grew up. You just can't say, kids, shut up. You also got to say, be quiet and give me your phone as well. Amen? And then I have to remember who bought the device for them. It falls on who? Us, the parents. So I really want us to think about that this morning. Who is raising your child? It is important that who is raising? You are. I think a lot of people want the youth pastor to raise the kid. I want you to know that's not our job. And I will get into that this morning of why it is not. But I'm going to read this verse to you. This comes from 3 John 1:4. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in what? Truth. When Laura's grandfather died, he was a wonderful servant of God. And about an hour or two after he died, I walked into his home, and on his wall was this: I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That is a blessing from the Lord. As his children was walking in that day, they were not fully in mourning, but they were praising God that Dad went on to be with heaven. And at his funeral, I could hear them all say, I will see you again. There's the blessing. There is the blessing that someday I will see you again. I just don't raise my kids to come to church, just to come to Sunday school. I raise them so I will see them again on the other side. Someday, from this life is over, I want to see my children in glory. Amen? So we have to remember, what is the end goal of parenting? My message is going to have three parts this morning, and I want you to bear with me as we go through these three parts. Number one is missing in action, mom and dad. Missing in action, mom and dad. Number two, the education system is not a parent. And number three, the church cannot fix your children. Don't get mad at me on number three, but I just really want to be honest with you. Church doesn't fix it, and we'll get to there. This is my heroes. This is my mom and dad. These are the people who raised me. These are the people who whooped me. This is the people who had me in church four times a week. These are the people who instilled everything that I am today and everything that I believe in today. Where does it come from? Mom and dad. I see a lot of great mom and dads in our congregation, don't we? We have a lot of good young mom and dads. I see a lot of great grandma and grandpas in this church who love and serve God. Amen? Why? Because I see the evidence assisting you. I see that daily when I'm here. I see parents that pray for their children, who advocate to God. That's what my mom and dad did. I could go in to dad's study, and I could hear him praying for not only his children, but his church at the same time. I could go into Dan's office a lot of times and see him in prayer for his church and his people. That's why I say you have a good pastor here. I've witnessed Dan praying for you guys. I've witnessed him doing that. That's a good leader. That's a good father. That's a good role model. I'm thankful for my mom and dad, though. My mom taught me how to sing. My dad taught me how to pray. I'm thankful for that today. It's going to go into my first section here, mom and dad. Mom and dad taught me how to pray. Sunday school teacher didn't teach me how to pray. My mom and dad taught me how to pray. The teacher didn't teach me how to pray. Mom and dad taught me how to pray. You want to know one of the very first prayers I remember mom and dad praying for me? I was very sick. I was about 4 years old, and mom and dad got down beside my bedside, and I can still remember him praying, "Oh God, heal them." That's how my dad used to preach. Remember how the old Baptist preachers used to preach, "Oh God." And he said, "Heal my son." And can I tell you, God healed me, and he touched me. Another thing is, number two is, mom and dad taught me how to fast by example. Can I tell you how they did that? Fasting is not something that we like to talk about today, is it? We don't like to talk about pushing back the plate. But mom and dad would set the table. We'd all sit in our assigned seats, all four of us, okay? Think of all a family of six. And we all had our assigned seats. And dad would come there. They'd make a plate, and he'd just sit it back. And no one would ever ask what he was doing, but we knew he was fasting. That was the example that was in my home. Sometimes kids need to see that you're fasting and not know that you're fasting. Amen? My dad always told me, he said, when your prayer is not, you feel like your prayer is not being answered, start fasting, Matt. He would tell us that as young children. Young children, he would ask us that. I want to ask you, when have you fasted for your children lately? You say, I have a child who has not come to know Jesus yet. Have you fasted for him? Maybe you've prayed for them, but have you fasted for them? Sometimes, it says this in the Bible, nothing comes without what? Prayer and fasting. So a thing mom and dad taught me by example was to fast. Number three, mom and dad taught me this. Mom and Dad told me not to forsake the sibling of myself with my brothers and sisters in church. They told me, they said, buddy, when that door's open, you better be sitting in a seat. Amen? It was important for us to know, have a relationship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Can I tell you this morning, your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ here is just as important as a lot of your family members. I have connections with people in here that I think of like as my family now. Why? Because I believe they pray with me. I believe they confide with me. I believe I'm on my way to heaven with them. And I want to see good things happen in their life, but they're investing in me as well. Do you know we invest in each other when we come to church? If you bring your whole family together, you're investing in that whole family when the church doors are open every time. You're investing in them. Number four, I want us to think about this. Mom and Dad taught me that our family wasn't perfect. I think we have a lot of misconceptions about family now. Why is that for? We want to say our family's the best. My family wasn't the best. My family was not rich. My family didn't have tons and tons of money. My dad worked 2 full-time jobs my entire life. Amen? I was thankful for that. He worked a secular job and was a full-time pastor at the same time. I thank God for that. That's a hard job. But our family wasn't perfect. We made mistakes. Their children sinned. My children sinned. Do your children sin? Amen. I think that's something we have to remember. I wasn't perfect, and Mom and Dad didn't make it like I was perfect either. No one's home is perfect. So I think that was something I'm still thankful for as they told us that. Number 5, Mom and Dad taught me to strive hard. Working hard was a big priority in my home. I remember I was 16 and I got my first job. Everybody remember when you got your first job? I loved my first job. I worked at school specialty bagging cats. I thought it was going to be the best thing ever for that summer. I was working in the warehouse. I know that sounds nasty, but that was my job. About week 2, I'm like, I can't handle this. I cannot bag any more of these animals for labs. Dad looked at me and he said, I said, I'm going to take a day off today. Dad said, listen, I didn't raise you to be lazy. Get to work. I was like, I can't have a day off? No. And then Dad brought scripture into that to back it up. Scripture into that. Dad told me if I did not, this was the King James Version, but Dad said if I did not work, I was worse than an infidel. What does that mean? That's like we denied the faith. Now, I know that was strong terms, but Dad would just bring that out to us. He said, okay, now get to work. And I said, okay, I'll go to work. And I've worked ever since then. Why? Because I didn't want to be found lazy. That was a big thing to my family, that we did not become found lazy. Number 6, this is point number 6 here. Mom and Dad taught me that I was not their friend. You know, I'm still not my mom and dad's friend. I'm almost 40 years old. I'm still not their friend. I thought someday I'll be their friend. You know, Mom and Dad still tell me when I'm wrong. Do you still tell your kids when they're wrong? Vicky's shaking her head. Yes, I'm sure you do. Yes, my mom and dad still tell me when I'm wrong. And I'm sure that they will call me after they view this online today to tell me if I missed something. I want to tell you, you are still the parent. Until I die, I am these boys' parents. My mom told me one time, I messed up as a teenager really, really bad. My mom said, I bore you into this world, but I can take you out. I will take you out. That's funny. No, mom told me, she said, I remember if we'd get into a family fight, biggest thing that ever happened in my home, we'd all sit down and pray. When's the last time you prayed with your family as a unit? You brought the kids in, you brought everybody in, you said, I messed up. There's times me and Laura have to come in, bring the boys in the living room, say, we all messed up. We're sorry we argued in front of you. We're sorry we brought this in front of you. And we have to say, we're wrong. Do you know, I think as a dad, sometimes we have a big ego and we want to say, we're right. We're right. No, sometimes we're also wrong. And sometimes your children need to see you're wrong. And sometimes they need to see an apology from you. Amen? I know this is not working here right. If you want to hit the next slide there for me. Yeah, thank you. School cannot raise your kids. This is a big thing that I think we think of today. School is going to raise our kids. They're going to shape their young minds. But Joshua 24:15 says this, "But for as for me and who? My house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You have to be a light in every community, amen? We raise our kids in our home so they can go out and be a light. But what has to happen with that? When we're taking them to school, where do they need to be a light at? The school. You always have to let your kids, we let our kids know, hey, there's going to be a lot of people that you're going to come in contact that don't believe exactly like you do. Right? Be a light to them. Witness to them. Talk to them. Not everyone's going to act like you. But you have to be a light. But you can always say, as for me and my house, what are we going to do? We are going to serve the Lord. You can go to the next slide there for me. Train up a child in the way it should go. In its old age, it should not depart from it. What does that mean? If we raise up a child right now in the way it should go, in its old age, it should not depart. That's teaching that comes from where? Home. It comes from directly the home. A lot of us are looking for that teaching to come from the school system. To train your child up, to rear them. Can I be honest with you today about my own children? And I want us to think about this. This is my Matt Parsons' home. And I want you to just tell you this. I don't raise your home. It's totally up to you. Yes, I want my kids to graduate from college. I want them to have good careers. But far greater than any other education that I want them to have, I want them to be born again believers. When it comes down to the end, Hayden, I want you to meet me in heaven someday. And if my other boys were in here, I would look them in the face and tell them the same thing. Boys, I want you to meet me in heaven someday. Why is that so important? To me, that's more important than a huge education. It's more important than money that you'll ever have in the bank. It's more important than a fancy car or a big house. It's that they serve Jesus Christ with all their heart. Can I tell you, if they serve Jesus Christ with all their heart and you teach them how to serve Jesus Christ, God will give them additional riches in their life. I'm telling you, God will bless their life abundantly. But it starts with raising them as believers. Steve, go to the next slide for me. It may eventually go. I'll continue on here. Next slide is going to talk about if we build our house on the rock. If we build our house on the rock, where are we supposed to build our house on? The rock. A lot of people right now are building our houses on shaky foundation. And when we're building our houses on shaky foundation, we are not getting good results. There we go. Godly training starts from the foundation. If you build your house on the sand, what will happen with that house? It crumbles. Anybody go to the beach in here? All right, I see some people. I see some that just came back. We like to go to the beach. That's one of our favorite things to do. But can I tell you what happens here? Have you ever been to the beach and you've seen a house that has, like, fallen into the ocean? I've seen a couple. To me, I just couldn't imagine investing millions of dollars into a beach house and watch it crumble into the ocean. Think about your children the exact same way. You invest millions of dollars. Some of you do. More of them, it's probably in the hundreds of thousands range. But we invest thousands of dollars into our children. We invest all of our love, all of our hope into them. Why do you want them to go by the wayside, Dad? Mom, why do you want them to go by the wayside? When we build our house on the rock, what are we doing? We're building a firm foundation for our children so their generations can stand. Then that next generation can stand. You are building a firm foundation for that child. I want you to know it's hard building a firm foundation. Why? It takes two. It takes a mom and a dad. Now, I'm telling you, there's going to be some people in here who don't have a spouse. Maybe you're a single parent. I want to tell you, I work with some great single people here. Tiffany is one of the best single moms I have ever seen, ever. Tiffany takes the role of mom, dad. I watch her work two jobs. I watch her be faithful to this church. Me and Laura talk about it a lot. And we see what she does with just herself, building a foundation for Zach. It starts at the ground, doesn't it? It starts with footwork. You're laying that groundwork as a believer. Me and Laura, we have to pray a lot, Lord. And a lot of times in the morning or late at night, we're praying, Lord, protect our children. Guide them. We're laying groundwork. Why? We want to see our children be successful. You can go on to the next slide here. Church alone cannot fix your children. Church alone cannot fix your children. Your child may come to church with aggression, anger, depression, habits, addictions, frustration, abuse. I want you to know one thing. I can't fix that. Pastor can't fix that. Nobody here can fix that. Where does that start? At home. Let me go on to the next slide. None of that can be fixed here. But I can tell you what the church can do. We can help in reinforce the teaching that you're teaching at home. If you're teaching it, we come along beside you and help and guide with you. Amen? We help instruct with things that you're teaching godly at home. I wish I could just go through Sunday school sometimes and take a big hose out and say, save, 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 like a big, huge, like, fire engine and just save everybody. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We don't do that. God doesn't work that way. But training your children to know and serve Jesus Christ starts at home. Then Pastor Dan provides a message for you. So you work on that during the week. Youth group comes. I'm there. We're working with your teenagers to reinforce what you've been working on all week long. Sunday school's there. So we got Elaine. We got all these other people. And they're working with you, with your children all week, what you have reinforced. Then we got Awana. And that is to help come behind and reinforce what you've been teaching all week long. I want to tell you, we have the wrong concept of church. We say, church, here they are. Take them, fix them. We don't do that. Because I have no problem saying, here's your kid right back. No, that's not my job. Our job is to come alongside you and help you and guide you. What do we want to see happen? I want to see your kids saved more than anything. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, we want to see you saved. We want to see something different happen in your home. Now, one of the big things that we have here, and I want to bring this back up, remember this, just because we all go to church here, there's no perfect family. Every family here has been through depression. Every family here has been through aggression. Every family here has had drug problems. Every family here has had alcohol problems. Every family here has had pornography problems. Every family here has had issue upon issue upon issue. I'm being real this morning. Don't act like yours is perfect this morning. Amen? We all need Jesus. And the biggest thing we have to learn as parents is how to pray for our kids. We're living in 2023. Let me tell you, we got real problems out there today. The issues are more real today. I graduated 20 years ago. Doesn't that sound crazy? 20 years ago I graduated. Man, that means I'm old. But can I tell you the problems that are happening today compared to the problems 20 years ago are even greater. College problems. I remember the college things that were happening then. Can I tell you, the college problems today are much greater than yesterday. So remember, if they're great today, remember tomorrow is going to be even greater problems. One of the things we should be doing as parents is praying a hedge of protection around our children every day. Go to slide, next slide here. This is things I want to tell you that our Sunday school teachers cannot do for your child. A Sunday school teacher cannot pray with your children at your dinner table. That is your job. A Sunday school teacher cannot pray with your children at bedtime. That's your job. A Sunday school teacher cannot resolve your children's emotional drama. Friend, that's your job. You should be knowing what's happening in your own home. If you don't, you have to examine the home that you are living in. Next slide, please. Go back one. Sunday school teacher cannot monitor your children's internet viewing or TV watching. Why? I don't want to. That's your job. Amen? I don't pay your bills. You do. Sunday school teachers really cannot take the cell phones out of your child's hands, even though I do. But I want you to know, we don't pay those bills. You do. You should know what your children are viewing. Amen? Why do I say this for? It's because you bring them to us. Fix them. I want to tell you today, we don't fix them. I would love to fix every single child. But can I tell you what we can do? We can love them. We can help guide you. We can help direct you. And number six, Sunday school teachers don't save your children. Only Jesus Christ does. And we need your guidance daily. I'm going to give you something that I have seen recently in our church since working here. We have one of the best churches in Mansfield. I believe that wholeheartedly. But I want to tell you something that we need more of, dads. I want you to look at our Sunday school programs, and I want you to look at our youth group programs, and I want you to look at our Awana's programs. They're getting ready to ramp up this fall with Awana again. Men, we need you. I know you say, why do you need me for? We need you. We need good examples for our young children. They're missing dads. I know the church doesn't raise them, but we reinforce good values into homes. They really need you this morning more than ever. You can go to the last slide here. This is the hardest job I've ever had, was with the title being called Daddy. Man. I'm telling you, it's tough. Being a dad, it's a tough job. But I love being a dad. There's moments that I have great pride in my children. There's moments I'm a little disappointed. Amen? Think how God is with us sometimes. You think he gets disappointed with us sometimes? But don't you think God has great moments of awe of what's going on here at Mission Point? I do. I'm going to ask you to do something that you may have not done in a very long time. Justin, you can come play if you like. I'm going to ask you to pray. And maybe you have not been down to the altar in 6 months, a year, 2 years, 15 years. And maybe you want to bring your whole family this morning and pray at the altar. There's nothing wrong with that. Can I tell you, we need to grow as a church. We need to grow as families. We need to grow individually. I'm taking accountability this morning. I know we preach this message about being a father. But can I tell you, I take accountability as that. I have to step up to the plate. Each of us in here as parents, leaders, individuals, what do we need to do? Step up to the plate this morning. I want you to tell you something. We got a big job to do here at Mission Point, don't you think? God ain't through with anything here yet. He just started something amazing. Could you imagine if God would set your house on fire spiritually? What could happen by next Sunday or by the end of the month? It could revolutionize Mansfield. We could see major things happen. But where does it have to start? In your home. This morning, I'm going to ask you all to stand this morning. And if you'd like to pray, I'd like to invite you to come down and pray this morning. And maybe you want to pray as families. Maybe you don't know the Lord this morning. Maybe you just want to grow closer to the Lord. I invite you to come this morning.